Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Destination Unknown. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. About 10 minutes to the top of the hour, and we'll talk to Steve Haskin and the Travers, obviously, the focus, also a little Alan Jerkins. And Steve, I have played a couple of Travers audios. We listened to Street Sense and Grasshopper, and we also this morning caught up with Jeremy Plonk's favorite when it came to Point Given, one of my favorites as well. Those two actually are about as favored Travers runnings as I've had myself, in fact. What about you? Favorite Travers?
My favorite Travers would have to, well, excluding my first one, which is a little bit far back for you, for your listeners, but my first Travers was Damascus in 1967. That was just when I was really getting into horse racing. So I probably couldn't even appreciate it. But looking back at it over the years, just try and picture a horse 16 lengths back at the 5/8 pole, winning by 22 lengths in the slop, eased up, equaling the track record. If you you can catch that race on YouTube. You just watch the two horses battling on the lead, and all of a sudden you see this blur coming into the onto the screen in the right, and goes by. Literally, you hear the expression, you know, like they're standing still or they're tied to the post. That's exactly what it looks like. I mean, he went by those horses like they weren't even there. It was like a different time frame. But, you know, that was definitely my favorite. But as I mentioned to Casey, it would have to be 1994, Holy Bull. That's still one of the most remarkable races. I don't know how Holy Bull won that race. You go back to that race, and you know there was a lot of doubt in people's minds whether Holy Bull was a mile and a quarter horse, which he probably wasn't. You know, even though he was a favorite in the Derby, and he just, you know, got a bad start, and he didn't handle the slop, and plus there was a lot of controversy surrounding that race about Holy Bull's I don't want to say the word condition, but some little extracurricular activities that Jimmy Kroll, you know, swore to the day he died that that somebody had gotten to him. But he just didn't run, and then he comes back, and you got to remember this was a crop of really, really good older horses that year. I mean, your Devil Is Due and your Colonial Affair, and I mean, you had just so many top horses, and he absolutely destroyed them in the Met Mile. And you know, he just went through the rest of the year unbeatable. I mean, his victory in the Woodward over these horses, if you look at the field that he beat, like every single horse he beat came back and won like a grade one stake after that, or coming off a grade one stake. I mean, it was an amazing field. But in the Travers, you look at that race and you say, well, okay, his main opposition in there, you know, looked to be Tabasco Cat, who had won the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes. And Wayne Lucas put a rabbit in there. It was a small field, and he put a rabbit in there named Comanche Trail. And the other horse that looked like he was really getting good at the time was Concern, who was a legitimate closer, who would go on to win the Breeders' Cup Classic that year, beating older horses. And Holy Bull went to the front, as he usually does, and Comanche Trail just stuck with him the whole way and forced him through ridiculous fractions of 46 and change and 110. And no horse had ever won the Travers going that fast early. And coming to the quarter pole, Jerry Bailey was on Concern, and he just flew into the picture. And just look at that point, had so much momentum, looked like he was going to absolutely blow by Holy Bull, which elicited one of Tom Durkin's greatest calls ever. Where at the quarter pole, when he says Holy Bull is in front, but there is cause for concern. and Concern just comes roaring up alongside Holy Bull. It looked like he was just going to go right by him, because he was a really strong closer. And Holy Bull would not let him get by. And it was amazing. And if I remember correctly, I don't have the chart in front of me, but Holy Bull ended up beating him by a neck, and I think it was a gap of 17 lengths back to Tabasco Cat in third. So, I mean, it was a remarkable race. And I think if you ask anybody, you know, what Holy Bull's greatest performance was, I mean, visually and statistically, they would have to say the Woodward when he beat older horses by 5 lengths in 147. But this race was one of the gutsiest performances. And if you're looking at the history of the Travers, I guarantee you that a lot of people will choose this as the best Travers. But, I mean, listen, I mean, there's a lot of Travers you can look at. There have been some historic. I mean, Arrogate's Travers was one of those unreal performances that you'll never see duplicated. American Pharoah getting upset by Keen Ice was one of the great upsets. Excuse me. And you remember, and you think, as you're talking about those years in the mid to late 2000s, when the Travers almost every year was won in a photo that you couldn't separate. First of all, you know, you look at Street Sense, and you know that was an exciting finish. But then Colonel John won in a photo, and then Jimmy Jerkins won with a Fleet Express. I mean, both of those. I mean, you couldn't even tell who won the race; that was so close. But I mean, listen. You can go back. You can go back and just look at a lot of these races. You know, a memorable race was Birdstone when he won, when Nick Zito ran 1-2, and Birdstone hadn't run since the Belmont Stakes. And Zito did not give him a prep in there, and that was the famous storm race where this incredible storm was coming in. The sky just turned a weird blue, like a dark purple color. Yep. It was really scary. And
yes, it was.
Instead of waiting, you know, for it to pass through, they sped everything up, and they saddled the horses immediately. Forget about walking. They just went right to the track. Forget the warming up. They just went right in the gate. And Birdstone just validated his win in the Belmont Stakes, where his connection, Mary Lou Whitney and John Hendrickson. And Nick Zito felt guilty for beating
right.
Smarty Jones, but this time they felt really good. This time they felt better about this race than the Belmont Stakes. But then he also runs second with the Cliff's Edge, who ran a big race. But Birdstone was a very good horse. And then like 2 seconds after he crossed the finish line, I mean, we had a storm that came in like a biblical proportions,
yes,
and the sight of Mary Lou Whitney wearing this, like, I think she was wearing like a powder blue suit or something, which was like just clinging to her
yes.
body. I mean, she was absolutely soaked and drenched. And I had a video camera on me, and I'm trying to protect it. And I'll never forget I'm on the racetrack, and you know, and it just started pouring, and it was coming down in buckets, as they say, and you couldn't even see in front of you. And I said, I got to get out of here. I can't stay in here. I'm getting drenched. So I turn around quickly, and I run back, and all of a sudden I like crash into a wall. I said, "Oh my God!" I said, "What the hell is this? This is on the racetrack." And I look up, and it's Eddington. I crashed into one of the horses. I mean, it was just chaos. It was total chaos, you know. And you know, thank God it didn't faze him at all. But to me, it was like, you know, my nose hit his body over there. It was like real, like running into a brick wall. And
that's
I just
funny.
I hailed it out of there undercover. It was so bad. And they canceled the race after.
Yep.
Part of the
first turn washed out. I mean, it was nuts. It was, and you know, I had Greg Montgomery yesterday, Steve, to talk about the Travers posters. That's one of my favorite posters. He's got the sky churning and the purple black, and it was almost the Midwest. They teach you to watch for, you know, the sort of opaque green that signals a tornado. I mean, it was really biblical looking. It was like out of Independence Day.
It was scary. It really was. You know, it's like saying this isn't a normal storm. This is something we've never seen before. But I mean, listen, and you can go back to a lot of Travers. There's a story behind all, you know, like the dimension ones you mentioned. You know, Point Given was just getting so good at that point. It was just, you know, just an absolute crying shame that he got hurt. We never saw what he could do later on at the end of the year. Can you imagine if Point Given had made it to the Breeders' Cup Classic to run against, you know, Tisnow in that epic post 9/11 Breeders' Cup if Point Given had stayed sound? And I remember the race before that, one of the great finishes when Carl Nafska had Unshaded, who just got up to nip Albert the Great, who just ran his heart out in that race, and he just lunged at the wire to get him. You know, I mean, you can go back to so many great performances. And of course, you know, 49er, the pair of races, the back-to-back races, the Haskell and the Travers, 49er and Seeking the Gold, where 49er beat him in those in both races. And and this was an amazing race with 49er winning both of them. He was just such a game horse. Yeah, I mean, listen, Travers is a great race, you know. And there were some trainers, you know. I'm sure Chad Brown would probably be one of them. Who, you know, the fact that he's from Mechanicville, would probably rather win the Travers than the Derby.
I mean, he has said that.
Let's put it that way.
No, he's made that evident over, without a doubt. This, he'd like to win this first. Well, Mike Rapoli was
Rapoli,
in that camp with the Belmont and Travers meant more to him, at least initially, until he actually had a Derby horse.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what they say. But you know, listen, if you're from New York and. Yeah, listen, on Travers Day, you know, when you win the Travers, it's like winning a Triple Crown event. You know, not quite, but I mean, the crowd is so big now, and it's such an enthusiastic crowd, and, you know, the cheers just pour out onto the racetrack. And, you know, winning a race at Saratoga is special anyway. I mean, I still haven't heard anything, other than American Pharoah, like Rachel Alexandra's Woodward Stakes. I mean, I thought the place was going to come toppling down and was shaking with so much noise. But when you win the Travers and you hear that crowd and the media flock around you, and it's so electric, you feel as if you won a Triple Crown race. And it really is a classic. I mean, when they call it the Midsummer Derby, you know, it's not just a euphemism or so. I mean, it really is a classic race. You know, and it represents the middle of the year. If you can't win the Kentucky Derby, you can't win a Triple Crown race. You know, this is the next best thing. And like I said, some people think it might be equal.
Well, We are going to listen.
It's always a good race. I remember in 2003, by the way, we thought the Travers was going to be an absolute disaster when it was supposed to be a big rematch between Empire Maker and Funny Side.
Yep.
And they both scratched out of the race. Neither one of them ran in the race, yep. And it was just like, oh, what's going to happen here? You know, and then turned out to be a very exciting race. 10 most wanted, Paul Redham got up, and it was it was an exciting race. But obviously it lost a lot of its luster, but it always manages to turn into a great race. But I don't know if anybody will ever duplicate what Arrogate did. I mean, to run 159-1 on that racetrack, breaking a 37-year-old track record by almost a full second, and look at the horses he beat in there. I mean, to beat horses like Gunrunner, destroyed these horses. And that's one thing about Arrogate, is that those four races he put together are uncanny. If you look at the Thoroughgraph numbers on his four wins, I don't think any horse has ever run four consecutive Thoroughgraph numbers like that. I think the lowest one was like -4.75 up to -5.25. I mean, who runs numbers like that? And not to bounce off any of them. I know he had time in between races, but boy, that race. And it came as a shock. Nobody was expecting that. He wasn't even Baffert's best horse, supposedly, going into the race. I mean, now he's got to be the biggest kept secret ever. But, God, he absolutely destroyed that field. Nobody was expecting that. I don't even think Baffert was.
No. No.
How about Will Take Charge? Talk about exciting finishes.
Well, if you want to talk exciting finishes, Three Noses on the Wire. The Dead Heat was just weird, but yeah, it was just strange, especially because they were so far apart and from each other. It's one thing when two horses are bobbing and they hit together. This was like, wait a minute, who can tell? No, the one that doesn't get the attention, Steve, and I don't know why. I brought this up, in fact, maybe it was yesterday. Coronado's Quest, Victory Gallop,
oh, God, yeah.
Raffy's Majesty. What about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Coronado's Quest, it was another one of those horses that was, he was just so totally game. He really was a really a tremendous horse. Remember, he was a bit of a nutcase, too, early in the year when he was running at Gulfstream Park, but he was just getting good. And, the thing about him is that, by the way, is that people don't realize, you go back and you look at that year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Now, a lot of people still say that was the greatest field ever assembled. That was with Awesome Again and Touch Gold and Silver Charm and Swain and Victory Gallop and Gentleman. I mean, it was just an incredible field. You go back and watch the race Coronado's Quest runs in that race. I mean, I think he finishes like fifth. He only gets beat like two lengths, and he was just pressing the pace the whole way. He ran a game race. He was a good horse.
I was even surprised. I even surprised myself because I didn't remember just how good he had gotten in those two stretches at both two and three, and no one ever brings up his name from the last 25 years.
I can't even tell you whatever happened to him. I don't even know where he wound up standing and when he died. I mean, I have no idea. He just sort of faded. But he was a darn good racehorse, I'll tell you. And like I said, game. Ran some huge races with Victory Gallop and it was, the real quiet was gone at that point. So those were the big three-year-olds, but he ran a big race in the Haskell.
Well, we were treated in that range, the late 90s, and that's when I was coming here, really, when I really started coming on a regular basis, like a weekly basis, when I was living in Montreal, and it Will's Way it's funny you mentioned 10 Most Wanted's win. I think people may forget that the late Wally DeLazzi won two Travers in about a 5-year period, because Deputy Commander as well.
Yeah, I mean, Wally, you know, that was Wally's heyday. You know, he was a tremendous trainer. It was a great family affair. You know, he had a son and a daughter who were both assistants, and you know, one went on to be a trainer, obviously, and Craig, and his daughter, you know, stayed on, and she's still an assistant. She's still working with the horses. And the thing is, you talk about the late 90s, too, and you talk about horses that nobody ever mentioned. And I'll tell you, the most underrated horse who never gets mentioned for the Hall of Fame, considering what he accomplished throughout his whole career, but nobody ever mentions Lemon Drop Kid. Lemon Drop Kid, by the way, I mean, what was great about it is that Lemon Drop Kid, when he won the Belmont Stakes, when he beat Vision and Verse by, you know, in a close fin, I think it was a neck or so, when Charismatic was trying for the Triple Crown and broke down. And then he came back in the Travers, and it was an identical race. Him and Vision Verse ran the same race with the same result. But Lemon Drop Kid went on to win, I mean, all these unbelievable, you know, races, you know, Gold Cups and Woodwards, and just, it's amazing.
Grade one winner at 2, 3, and 4.
One of the big races, he ran like 158 and change.
Yep. For Mrs. Vance and Scotty.
Yeah. I mean, he was a tremendous horse. I mean, he really was.
You know what, Steve, you know what hurts him is, that, you know, despite the I said, grade one wins at 2, 3, and 4, his failure at the end of seasons at age 3 and 4, when he just couldn't follow through at the end, Breeders' Cup Classics and Jockey right. Cup Gold Cup. You know who he reminds me of? He's sort of a male version, or she's a female version, Take Charge Lady, who would have these great campaigns, and then when it came time in the distaff, it just didn't happen for her.
I'll tell you another one, by the way. I'll tell you another filly, and not only that, but she was elected to the Hall of Fame this year, Heavenly Prize. What she did all year was just incredible. And then when it came time for the Breeders' Cup distaff, she had nothing. You know, she came up empty. And I'll tell you another filly too. It was the same way. Sky Beauty. You know, she won the Philly Triple Crown, and she won Alabama, everything. But when it came time for the, you know, Breeders' Cup, but you know, it happens to. Happens to a lot of horses. Look at Princess of Silmar, another filly who had such an incredible year and just did nothing in the distaff. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to keep fillies in form. And sometimes they, you know, they give you an indication that they're losing their form. Once a filly loses a form, it's very, very hard to get it back. You just got to give them time off if they ever do get it
back. That's true.
You know, you're right about the Lemon Drop Kid. I remember what started turning people off is that they had one of those big fall days at Belmont Park, and he was running in the Woodward Stakes, and he had run like a mile and eighth in like 150 and change. And he won by like three-quarters of a length. It was a so-so race. And then in the Belding, Ribolletta ran like 146 and change. It was like one of the biggest differences anybody had ever seen. Or maybe it was a mile in the 16th race, and she ran like in 140 and change. Or no, I think she ran 146 and change. But she ran like almost 4 seconds faster than Lemon Drop Kid. Nobody could believe it. Nobody could understand that. And then you know, they ran the Breeders' Cup was a Gulfstream that year, and he really disappointed. So he was losing form, but going into that race, he had a tremendous year.
Steve, let's go into Saturday. Let's get your Travers look.
Well, I hate to talk about horses that aren't running, but it's really a shame about Hofburg because I mean,
sure.
I love that. I thought that this was going to be Hofburg's big breakout race. But, you know, and it just shows you what a strong race it is, because even with Hofburg out, I mean, it's still an amazing race. And you can go, listen, there's so many ways you can go here. You know, obviously, on paper, Good Magic looks like, you know, the horse coming off the Haskell. But to me, this is a race where you want to look for value, because it's so wide open. And, you know, they're going a mile and a quarter, and you kind of want to look for a horse that you know can get the mile and a quarter. You know, even Chad Brown admits that Good Magic, his limit is probably a mile and a quarter, which is why they passed the Belmont with him. So when they say his limit's a mile and a quarter, you don't know for sure he's going to love the mile and a quarter. And if you look at his buyer numbers, you know, they're no different from anybody else. I mean, he's still running, you know, in the 90s. You know, he still has never run as fast as he has in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So, you know, if you're a buyer follower, you have to say, you know, he's not a standout in here. The Haskell field he beat as a whole was pretty weak. So, and when you listen to Chad Brown talk, by the way, the horse he really raves about like crazy is Gronkowski.
Right.
He said he's never worked this good. I saw his last work. He looked phenomenal in that workout, especially galloping out. And yeah, you look at his Belmont. I mean, his Belmont was a tremendous race. All things considered, what he was coming off of, and he had a setback, and we really didn't know much about him. And you know, if so many horses in this race, by the way, that if they win, Good Magic and Gronkowski being two of them, but if they run big races here, it sort of boosts. Not that Justify needs any boosting, but it does boost Justify. Who beat both of those horses legitimately when they had every chance to beat them. But I don't know about the filly. I just don't know how good Wonder Godot is. She looked great at Woodbine, but I don't know who she was beating there. You know, we all saw what she could do in the Kentucky Oaks, and you know she's going to love a mile and a quarter. And Mark Cassie thinks, she's, calls her, Wonder Woman. So we really don't know how good she is. If she wins, will it surprise me? No. I just don't know if she's good enough. I don't know if I would take a shot. I mean, it's not easy. You know, fillies have not done very well. I think, the best performance I can remember by a filly was looking back at Chris Everett when she ran in the slop against Little Current and Holding Pattern and finished third behind them. I thought she ran a big race, but yeah, it's not easy. And they ran Devona Dale. John Beach ran Devona Dale a week after she won after she lost the Alabama, and she also ran in the slop and couldn't handle it. So we'll see what happens there. But you know, I'm looking at Gronkowski, and I can't dismiss two of the horses that I loved on the Derby trail all year. You know, of course, number one being Vino Rosso. I don't know if he's good enough, but if I was at the track and I was, making a bet, I would definitely include him, only because I did have him ranked number one going into the Derby, but he just has a problem focusing, and he just took himself out of the Jim Dandy early. He was just so far back in that race, and, he closed fast, but part of that was that they came home really slow in the race. And he's just another, like, there's so many horses in this race that, you look, 93 buyer, 95 buyer, 96. I mean, they're all basically the same numbers. And the other three-year-old that I've loved all year, and I had him ranked really high earlier until he fell off the Derby trail, was Catholic Boy, who I think is an exceptional racehorse. And I just love that horse. I've loved that horse since the Remsen. And I see no reason why he shouldn't run a big race here. And then the other horse I would consider, if I'm looking for four horses, to play and eliminating the favorite and eliminating the filly and looking for value, don't dismiss King Zachary. This horse, if you look at his speed figures, they're as good as anybody. And when he won the Matt Winn, he ran a 98, which is as fast as any of these horses have run. But I remember when I saw this horse break his maiden, I was so impressed at the fluidity of his stride. And the way he was moving and the athleticism and the balance and the smoothness of him down the stretch, he was just running like an old pro. And then for some reason, he just ran horribly in the Wooden Memorial. I don't know if he just didn't like Aqueduct, whatever it was. And then he came back, you know, he came back and he ran a big race actually to win an allowance race in the slop. But his race in the Matt Wynn, he returned to that maiden race. And I thought, and in fact, I even wrote a column about him. I thought that this was going to be the breakout race about the second wave coming and watch out for this race. You know, I mean, it's by curling out of a Giants Causeway mare. And then he comes to the Indiana Derby, and I said, why is he running him in this race? Well, we had Dale Romans on last week, and I even asked him about that. I said, I told him, you know, bluntly, I said, I was really surprised you ran this horse at a mile of the 16th instead of waiting to run into Jim Dandy and get a race over the track and at least get him a mile and eighth to lead into the Travers rather than have to go a mile and a 16th into a mile and a quarter race. So he said that the horse was just ready to run. And as it turns out, he ran a very lackluster race. Not a bad race. He ran fourth, got beat 2¾ lengths. But Dale said on the show, which I didn't know about, is that he bled in the race.
Right.
And Dale does not like using that as an excuse. But the fact is, he did. Now, how much of an excuse you want to use, you know, that's up to each individual person betting the race. But the fact is that he did bleed in the race. And he's come back with worked 59-1, and then he worked 59-3 with a bullet workout. I mean, he's working his tail off up there. And to me, he's going to love the mile and a quarter. What, you know, whether he's ready to beat these horses, I don't know, but I still think he's going to be in the mix. So, you know, if I'm looking for a superfecta or something like that, and you want to look for prices, those are the four horses I would use, and I definitely would bet. I would bet King Zachary to win, and I would probably throw in a few bucks on Vino Rosso and Catholic Boy as well, because I think they're both going to be. I think Catholic Boy will get bet. I think Vino Rosso will be a big overlay. I think a lot of people have given up on him, and you know, even Todd Fletcher has been disappointed the fact that he's lost focus and he hasn't been as consistent as he should. But other than the Derby, you know, which is a throwout race, he hasn't run bad. I mean, he ran fourth in the Belmont. He was was flying at the end of the Jim Dandy. And he was impressive in the Wood Memorial. So we know what he's capable of. So, I mean, and he's another curling, and he's out of a street crime there. So, you know, he's going to love the mile and a quarter as well. But, I mean, so many horses that, you know, I haven't even mentioned that are still, you know, good horses in here. You know, I know Wayne Lucas said Bravazo's never been better. And the thing is, the horse that we just don't know about is Mendelssohn. And that's going to be key as far as speed. You know, you have speed on the rail, you know, with this trigger warning, you know, coming off the Indiana Derby, and he definitely has speed. You got to figure Mendelssohn's going to be right on the pace. That's the way he seems to run his best races. So, I mean, Mendelssohn's going to be right up there, and a lot of these horses have speed. You know, I think, you know, I mean, Tenfold still won the Jim Dandy. I mean, it's just a tough race. I mean, it's really a tough race to handicap. So a lot of times in a case like this, you know, I go back to the classics. I go back to the horses I liked in the classic races and just hope that they're going to, that these are the races that they're going to bust out. And so we're talking Vino Rosso and Catholic Boy. Like I said, you got to throw in Gronkowski, and I would throw in King Zachary as a big, big long shot in there.
Yeah, King Zachary, I talked about earlier. I agree. There's something there. Of course, we could also box up all the curling horses. That might be the as good an approach
right.
as any.
That's right.
Tenfold, Good Magic, Vino Rosso, and King Zachary. That's I can tell you that's the superfecta that John Secure is rooting for.
What's that?
That's the superfecta that John Secura is looking for. He's looking for the all curling superfecta.
Yeah, for sure. I can't imagine why. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, let's put it this way. That's not far fetched. Can you imagine if they ran 1, 2, 3, 4?
Well,
it wouldn't shock anybody if you eliminated who the sire was and just mentioned the four horses and said these are my four horses. You'd say, oh, it sounds good to me. I mean, it sounds like a good superfector without knowing that they're all curlings.
If you get, yeah, if we get to Saturday night and Good Magic had won and tenfold second, here came Vino Rosso with that late run, like he did in the Jim Dandy. He finished third, and King Zachary held on. You know, after chasing the pace, he held on for fourth. It's far from inconceivable.
No, in fact, I think you should definitely bet it. I would definitely bet that now. I mean, just for the heck of it.
This is pretty good.
Like I said, something historic always happens in the Travers Stakes. And
well, right now,
that would be pretty historic if Curlin had the first four finishes.
An all-sire superfecta.
I mean, that would be pretty remarkable.
But, now, Bravazzo.
I can just imagine if Tenfold was still in this race. I mean, Hofberg. If Hofberg was still in this race, because I think he's as good as a three-year-old as you find in the country right now. But I mean, even with him out of the race, I mean, this is a fascinating race. I don't know how good these horses are. You can't push these horses over 100 Blyer. Usually by now you want to see some of them running 106s, 107s, or something like that. But they're all like stuck around 97, 98. They just can't get up over that 100 mark.
Steve, one horse that we haven't talked at all, and by connection, you know, by pedigree connection, it deserves at least a mention. The only one in here without graded stake experience in Meistermind, who's got a pretty potent pedigree when it comes to the classic distance. It's a And the fact that he shows up here with those high profile connections, it's kind of a, I suppose.
I was wondering what he was doing in here. To tell you the truth, I'm saying why would Aspiration? I mean, he's got Tenfold in there, so you know why put this horse in there? You know, granted, I think he put him in there because when he broke his maiden, the Churchill, it was at a mile and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he won off by himself. So, he probably looked at him saying, wow, obviously this horse loves a mile and a quarter. You know, he didn't beat much, obviously, in there. You know, and he came back in Saratoga in allowance race. He finished fifth, but it was in the mud. But I think he's just probably figuring he's going to like the mile and a quarter and hope he can pick up a piece of it.
Yeah, you know, agreed.
And of course, it's Windstar and China Horse Club. I mean, they have to be in every race. You know that.
Yep.
They have to have at least one horse in every race.
Well, the one horse also that I'll throw in for a point of discussion, you brought up, Will Take Charge earlier. Bravazzo has danced every dance, and
everybody's forgotten about him.
No, he certainly has been working. All. Magic 8-ball signs say he's pointing to a good effort, and I would be nauseous if I didn't have him on a ticket positioned in a place for a good run.
I tell you what you do, by the way. If somebody's looking at that horse, go back and watch the Haskell. Okay, forget the numbers, forget the fact that Good Magic won by three lengths. Forget the fact that it wasn't the strongest field. Watch Bravazzo in the stretch. Just watch him. Don't even look at Good Magic. Just watch Bravazzo and watch the way he's striding out in the stretch. He is running very strong. There was no way he was going to catch Good Magic going a mile and an eighth in that race. Now he did close the gap a little bit. And he finished six lengths ahead of the third horse. Watch him pull away from the rest of the horses. He was dropping a lot of weight from his Triple Crown race, and he's got to pick up 8 pounds. But every time I always look at that, and every time I say, oh, he's got to pick up weight, you know what? It doesn't matter to these horses. It doesn't matter at all. He's used to carrying 126 pounds. But just watch him from a visual standpoint. Just watch the way he's striding out. This horse is not tiring. He's running hard. He's running straight. I just liked the way he was striding out in that race. You know, and listen, the Belmont Stakes, I cross out any time they run into Belmont. I'm not going to hold a mile and a half race against any horse. But, you know, listen, if he runs the race he did in the Preakness, I'm not going to be shocked. Again, you can't use everybody, but if he runs back to his Preakness, he's right there. I mean, he was flying to Justify. He was the one. I know, you know, Tenfold was right there too, but Bravado was the one that was running strongest at the wire. And the way he started out the year, he's a game horse. The way he won at Oaklawn, the way he won the Risen Star, you know, and then the Louisiana Derby was a toss out. But and he didn't run badly in the Kentucky Derby either. Yeah, he finished sixth out of 20. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, a mile and a quarter. We talked all going into the Alabama. We talked repeatedly that the mile and a quarter is always a different animal, and you know, I don't want to necessarily equate Good Magic with Midnight Bisou in this spot, but there are some themes to it. For me, Steve, I want to quickly get your Jerkins thoughts too, and then we got to wrap. But 10-9-4-7 basically is the way I'm set up. Tenfold, Good Magic, Bravazo, and King Zachary is what I, when I handicapped last night, that's what I came up with. So
I can't fault my lean. I mean, it sounds good. And I tell you one thing, by the way, you're going to get a hell of a price on Bravazo. He's one of the horses that everybody's going to forget about. They're going to look at him and say, Bravazo again. But first of all, you got to have a lot of respect for any horse that can run in the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont these days, because few horses do it.
Well,
you know, if you run well enough in the Derby, you automatically skip the Preakness and point for the Belmont. He goes in, runs the best race in the Belmont, in the Preakness. And the Belmont is just, you know, it was a mile and a half. He was tracking the pace the whole way. And he, you know, he got tired. I'm not going to hold that against him at all. And listen, how many times have we seen Wayne Lucas pull off something like this? I mean, how many times after the race you're saying, oh, how did I let that go, Lucas?
Exactly. You know, how did I miss him?
Yeah, and the thing is, look at the races that Will Take Charge ran in the Triple Crown races. He was horrible. He was horrible. And, you know, he became a new horse after the Triple Crown. So, I mean, Lucas has thrown in some of the really, really big upsets. And then after the race, you look at it and you're saying, you know, that horse, you know, you can make a case for him, and it's Lucas, and he pulled another one off. It's a tough race to bet. It really is.
It's going to be fun. In lieu of Justify on to green pastures, this will be a tremendously entertaining and potentially lucrative opportunity. Steve, before we go and before we play Holy Bulls Travers, let's get a quick glance at the Jerkins too, because that has turned up compelling.
Yeah, I mean, listen, promises fulfilled, drawing the rail. I'm not crazy about him on the rail. I mean, there's just so much. There's a lot of speed in here, and I don't know if he really wants him. If Dale Romans really wants him on the rail, I shouldn't say there's a lot of speed. I mean, there's some speed in there, but if he breaks sharply from the rail, coming off that 108 buyer and the race he ran in the Amsterdam, he went to opening quarter in 21-1. If he can bust out of here, just remember, there's a horse that's already won impressively at a mile and a 16th. So, I mean, the 7 furlong stretch out is not even a stretch out for him. But if he can get out there with his speed, I mean, his last two races, how many horses run back-to-back 21 and changes and 43 and changes? So he's got tremendous speed. And if he can get a clear lead, if he busts out of the gate, I just don't know if anybody can catch him. He's going to be very, very tough in there. You know, the horse that intrigues me in here, obviously, is Frenzy Fire, coming off that crazy race he ran in the Dwyer. Obviously, we know he loves one turn. 7 furlongs might be kind of short. I think he's more of a miler. So I don't know. I don't know if he's quite ready to beat these kind of horses going 7 furlongs. But I tell you, a horse to keep an eye on in here, it could be actually a decent price, is Gitu, making his dirt debut. I know he's unproven on dirt, and he's by Frankel. But the fact that he's out of an unbridled song mare, and the fact that he had a bullet workout at Saratoga, 47-3, he was the fastest of 60 works at the distance. And I thought he ran his tail off in the Commonwealth Cup at Ascot. I mean, he ran a tremendous race. I mean, he's only beaten 2 1/4 lengths in there, and he just ran awesome. And then the Hall of Fame, he just bust out of there and opened up a big lead and got tired. And I think coming off a race like that, when you get a horse that opens up 6 lengths, going 2 turns on the grass, and now he's dropping back to 7 furlongs. And again, if he handles the dirt coming off that workout, and it looks like he likes the dirt, at least in the morning, and with that unbridled song as a broodmare sire, he's definitely the horse I would definitely put in there.
I was intrigued when I saw him there, Steve. When I opened up the overnight yesterday, I was like, Gitu. Okay.
Yeah, it's strange to see him in here, but the fact that it's strange, makes me really like this horse a lot. And I like the fact that he had that bullet work, and then he came back and Pletcher worked him on the training track and just gave him a nice easy half mile 15-4 breeze, which I kind of liked because he worked so fast. The workout before that. So, I mean, those would be my two horses. And, just as a point of interest, when we had Dale Romans on, he's very, very high now. He thinks 7 Trumpets has become a man. He's turned from a boy to a man. And he absolutely loves the way, this horse worked 58-2 Saratoga, a bullet workout. Romans loves the way he's training. And of course, you never know with Dale because he always loves all his horses, but, nothing wrong with that. But he was second in the Dwyer, the Frenzy Fire. It was kind of a wake-up race for him after coming off that off-the-turf allowance win at Churchill. He seems to be getting good right now. I don't think he's good enough to win, but he could pick up a piece of it. But like I said, if Promises Fulfilled gets out there from the rail, breaks sharp. I just don't know. I don't know who can run with him, really. Telekinesis, Mark Cassie thinks that this horse is a super horse in the making. Now, he's had a strange career. He looked great when he broke his maiden at Fairgrounds the first time. Looked like he was going to be something special, just getting a late start. And he's run well, but, they stretched him out to 1 1/4 miles in the Queen's Plate, and he set the early pace and, got tired. So dropping back to 7 furlongs, but I know Mark Cassie is extremely high in this horse. He thinks he's going to develop into something really special. And being by Ghost Zapper out of a Street Cry mare, he's kind of intriguing as well.
It's a question
of how much speed he's going to show. He's coming off 1 1/4 miles, but other than him, there's nobody in this race that looks capable right now of running. With Promises Fulfilled, except maybe Guido, even though he's dropping back from 1 1/16. I could see him, possibly running second in this race, stalking the pace. And he's got all that bottom under him now. So, with all that bottom under him and coming off the turf.
Yeah, perhaps.
Promises Fulfilled, tires a little bit at the end, he could be right there to, pick up the pieces.
No, and Johnny will go forward without a doubt. And regarding Cassie, before we go, I will say pretty much every horse, if we go back to last year, all the horses that he talked about that had potential, they've all come to fruition. Different timing. They didn't all develop on time, per se. But he talked about Nipawa and gets rewarded last week, winning the Breeders' Stake, right. Up at Woodbine, and he did.
No, Mark's good at that. That's why I have to have some respect for Wanda Godot, the way he talks about her.
Well, he talked about her first, Steve, going back to last July on on these airwaves, and everybody at the from that point on, she became the house horse, and it's going to be her. It's going to be tough, boy, for me to not put her prominently, but I can't.
I can't see it. Listen, you talk about freshman. I had her in the Kentucky Oaks. So did I.
I thought she did okay, but
that race one. We really didn't know quite how good Monomoy Trail was at that point. But
distance question at that point.
That should be a great card. I mean, look at that personal ensign with Abel Tasman and Leighton Farrell in there and Wildcat. I mean, wow. Small field, but really, really stacked.
No, it's very good. It's very good. Steve, we're going to pull out, and before we go, as we go, let's listen to the Travers you cited. We'll go back to 94. Holy bull.
Cause for concern.
Here we go.
In the Travers. And Holy Bull breaks in stride, but here comes Comanche Trail. Hellbent on the lead on the outside, and it is Comanche Trail who takes the lead, but here comes Holy Bull up from the inside, and Tabasco Cat's not far behind. Unaccounted for is running in fourth, and Concern is already 15 lengths from the lead by the time they reach the first turn. Comanche Trail on the outside, and Holy Bull, a dazzling opening quarter here of 22 4/5 seconds. And it is Comanche Trail who will make Holy Bull work to stay up close to the lead. Tabasco Cat is stalking in third. He's about 3.5 lengths from the front runners. And then it's another three back to unaccounted for. And still well behind is Stretch Running Concern. They're making their way into the back stretch. And it was a hard opening half mile here of 46-1. And the Bulls in front now. Holy Bull in front now by a half length. Comanche Trail, his work done now. He begins to fade a bit in second. Then it's a break of 5 lengths to unaccounted for. Tabasco Cat has now dropped 7 lengths from the lead. Holy Bull opens up as they pass the half-mile pole. It is Holy Bull who runs an eye-opening 3 quarters in 1:10.3, and he rounds the far turn with a 4-length lead. Unaccounted for has now moved into second. Tabasco Cat is still 7 lengths from the lead, and Concern begins to hit his best stride. He has 10 lengths to make up, and Mike Smith lets the bull roll. He's in front by 5 as they come to the quarter pole, but there is cause for concern. Concern comes on second on the outside. Tabasco Cat is well behind in third. They're coming down to the final furlong. Mike Smith asking Holy Bull for everything he has. Concern is coming hard under Jerry Belly. It's still Holy Bull desperately trying to hold Concern a final thrust, but it is Holy Bull as game as a racehorse can be coming down to the wire. Holy Bull wins! What a hero!
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after
after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sarmon Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. There's just 10 minutes to round out the morning, and we lost those 10 minutes when something happened to Spectrum here, and that was not good, actually, because now I find myself with a stack of stuff that I had meant to get to as part of the early, you know, news and so forth, and didn't really dig in too deep to yesterday's Saratoga card and the way things turned out. But I will reiterate, another Finger Lakes trained type, although certainly the winner of the Nightcap had come, you know, originally from Belmont and had been with Carlos Martin, but out to Alejandro Memo, who now has won twice and it actually has got a horse in today as well. But that theme, and Tony touched on it too, it continues. These shippers that, you know, for years at Saratoga, Barkley Tag off the van, the Rockingham shippers, whatever it was, that stuff never completely fades away. So keep that one these last 11 days. We already took care of the Marat story. We didn't get to Roaring Lion's win at York. And, of course, the Ibor Festival this week. There's some notable horses running between now and the end of the stand. Keep an eye on that. I want to mention, of course, Timonium coming, Remington getting ready to go, and I've got a bunch of other stuff. We'll save it. I'll remind that I'll get you the details for starting tomorrow through Sunday on the Breeders' Cup Distaff and Classic future wager that the Breeders' Cup people are conducting, etc. We'll save Rich Eng for a weekend preview tomorrow with just a couple of minutes left. And we started the conversations earlier this morning in hour one with some Sean Clancy over the jumps. And today with my selections, I put up the first half of the card. I'll finish up the late pick four momentarily after we get off the air. But the picture that I put up with the selections today is a jumper going over the hurdles at Saratoga. And in just about an hour and 10 minutes, when they run the New York Turf Riders Cup handicap, one observer will be Kip Elser And we can't go through Saratoga without a Kip Elser moment. And here it is. Kip joins us. And I'm going to let Kip take you back. I don't think he wants to remind that it's 40 years. But happy intellectual wins three straight Turf Riders Cups. The first was with Kip. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. Yeah, 40 plus years, it's a long time. But that's one of the wonderful things about Saratoga. It just keeps on going.
Well, we think about certain jump horses that are immortalized, and Lonesome Glory and others, but Happy Intellectual doesn't get mentioned nearly enough. And to win three straight at this level and whatever else, the other exploits, take us back to 76.
Well, he was just such a wonderful horse. He was bred in this country, was a good three-year-old here, went to France for 3 years, and then came back in 76 for Mrs. Phipps, and won the Turf Riders 3 years in a row. He was just a wonderful, talented, and game old horse.
What's amazing, he was bred by Harbor View. He was bred by Mr. Wolfson, and then for Mrs. Phipps. And you have to go all the way back to 1969. He ran on the Derby Trail. He was a flat horse on the dirt that far back. And then here it is, 7-8 years later, 9 years later, and he 120 something starts when you combine both careers.
I get a little lump in my throat just thinking about it. He was just so game. One of those that he'd just do anything you asked of him. Jump high, run fast, go long, go short. It was unbelievable.
Who trained him on the flat? Do you know? Do you remember?
I'm assuming back then that Ivan Park had him for Harbor View back then.
Interesting.
And I don't remember who had him in France. Obviously, Mikey Smithick had him over here.
Right. Right. How often did you ride him? And because, later on, Joe Atchison rides him, and who else?
Let's see. I got to ride him because Joe had to ride something else from Mrs. Phipps. And then I won two more on him that year, I think. Bill Martin rode him the next year. And then Joe was hurt 1 year, and then Joe rode him the last year. He couldn't do anything but put his hands in the mane, and the old horse just took him around there. That's a movie we ought to try to dig up somewhere.
Well, there's a great quote I remember. I remember when Joe Atchison passed 4 or 5 years ago, and Angel Cordero, of all people, was quoted in an obit. And he said, I remember sitting in the room, and here came Joe Atchison, and he was all bandaged up. He could barely limp his way to the locker. Then you go out and win.
He was just a remarkable man. He'd been a boxer in the Navy before he ever started to ride after he retired from the Navy. He was just a wonderful jockey and a wonderful man.
Well, it's the other big day for the Chase crowd here at Saratoga, the New York Turf Riders Cup handicap. And Kip, among your Chase wins, one of your most treasured?
Absolutely a highlight. And I was working for John Russell at the time in the barn where Shoji is now. And anyway, great memories.
Well, there'll be some new ones made today. We've got, as we mentioned earlier, Gordon Elliott in town and with a pair. And Kip, you've been in the news too. Before we wrap up, I've got to mention you're coming back. You're going to force feed the industry to take on the Gallup approach with the sale. Talk about that.
Well, we tried it this year with a no breeze group of horses at the Gulfstream sale in Florida. Horses performed well at the sale. They sold well, and now the first one to run, Splashy Kisses, won very impressively at Del Mar the other day. We're going to go and buy a few more yearlings this year and try to move the needle a little bit, or show a little bit of a different way of doing things, and hopefully it can go on from there. I think there's room in the market for some more of this. We're never going to get completely away from breezing at 2-year-old sales, but maybe we can make a small portion of them galloping and not have quite as much pressure on them. Save a little bit for the next guy down the road.
Absolutely. Well, and as a going away present, you're watching horses in the mornings. You're out there every day. You've been here all meet, of course. A Travers pick.
Oh, what a card is we're going to have that day. It's just that this is Saturday's the kind of day that keeps you in the game, keeps you jumping out of bed every morning to keep going. And see these kind of races, and especially all in one day, it's a great card coming up.
All right, you didn't give us a Travers pick. Who you've been watching and that you like the way they're moving in the morning?
Chad's horse is pretty obvious. I'm a little bit of a contrarian anyway, so I think I can go with the filly.
Look at you. I love it. Kip Elser, everybody, and KirkwoodStables.com, and one of the game's real treasures, over the jumps, prepping horses for competition in the afternoons, pinhooking, sales prep, you name it. Kip Elser, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Always great. Happy Intellectual, the horse of the day. Or was Holy Bull the horse of the day? Or was Point Given the horse of the day? Doesn't matter. Hope whoever you like is the horse of the day, and it makes you some money. HRRN picks up the ball today at 3. So look forward to some great action. Picks for the 1st through the 6th are up, and the early pick 5, and I'll get the rest up in just a couple of minutes. Back with you for a huge weekend preview of Travers Weekend. And all the other good action, including, I didn't give you the Pat O'Brien lineup, but it came up really good, including that return of Battle of Midway. Really a fun morning. Jeremy Plonk and Sean Clancy, Tony Black, Steve Askin, and Kip Elser. Good luck today, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
fun in the sun is Express Bet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with Express Bet. And while you're at it, don't miss Express Bet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.